We're thankful tonight for this opportunity to be back at Andrew. It's been a Bethel spot to me many a time. I think about you a whole lot. I can almost see your faces. Some of you ain't sitting in the same place you used to, Noble side of the place. You just get used to it. Sometimes I almost close my eyes and I'm about to see where you see it. It's been a Bethel spot. This dear brother prayed a sweet prayer tonight. There's been two sweet prayers. I appreciate it. I'm telling you, I was down. But if I don't get anything, I've done been lifted up.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
Bible says it. Man ought always to praise the Lord. We don't, but we sure ought to.
Amen.
Brother Ed talked about all these spiritual diseases that we got, and that sort of settled my mind on something that I want to talk just a little while. Now, I've got a lot of infirmities in the body, but I want to tell you something. I've got a stiff neck. It hurts all the time. And Bob talks about stiff-necked people, doesn't he? And I got some things that the doctor says you're just going to have to live with. And I said, well, if I'm going to live with it, don't quit taking this medicine you give me. It ain't doing me no good. It ain't going to cure me. What's it? What good is it? But I have sicknesses, brother. And I don't know how to handle them. Except I carry them to the Lord. And God's people, not always just a minister. But I've had brothers and sisters that would just speak a kind word. They get me back on my feet and ready to go again. I believe we're to minister to each other. But I want to just show you a little something. This is talking about our Lord. And I know we got Paul for an example, but we got even a better example than Paul.
Amen.
We got the Lord Jesus Christ that was his example. We got them both, haven't we?
Amen.
We got more than Paul had. Paul had the Lord. We got the Lord and Paul. But verse 14 of this fourth chapter of Luke, I want to just go through it a little. Because you might all read the first verse. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. I mean, our Lord went into these temptations. And I just want you to understand that he come out the same power that he went in.
Amen.
And if we're going to handle our problems, we're going to have to do it through the Spirit. And then you'll come through those problems in that same Spirit that you handled them. And so you see him going into the wilderness there to be tested or tempted of the devil for 40 days. And he comes out in the power and said, that went out of fame. That wasn't what he was wanting. You see, I don't understand why many times our Lord would do something. He'd say, see that you tell no man. Man, if I do something great, I don't have to tell you, see that you tell no man. I'll tell him. I'll get the word some kind of way. If I do something that I feel like is great, you don't need to tell him. If I get there before you do. They done be told. Thy Lord wasn't trying to build no reputation. That wasn't his motive. That wasn't his interest. He was interested in only doing that that the Father sent him to do and to finish the work. Just please him. Do his will. And let's let us go down. And notice she came out and there's a fame went out round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And I want you to understand that he was brought up. And he's going to reflect back on a blessed little old woman, blessed above women. And his life's going to reflect back on her because she brought him up. And he was brought up, and I want you to understand this, and it's, I wrote it, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Our Lord was accustomed to going on the Sabbath day.
Amen.
I mean, when the Sabbath day come, he was used to going. He'd always done it. Amen. And you know, childhood habits is hard to break.
Right.
And I know we're not to look at going to the Lord's house as a habit. But it ought to be a habit. We ought to get addicted to it.
Amen.
I mean, get in such a shape that we just can't do without. We can't. We might think we can, but we really can't do without it, whether we think we can or not. I can't live without God's people and the gospel and His Spirit and love. I've tried it. I don't exist without it. But I can't live.
Amen.
Right.
Me and my wife can stay married, but we can't really, what you say, live together. It's hard for a man and woman, both of them in the flesh, ever to get together. Can't live like that. We didn't exist. We can fuss and fight and kick and snort. But that's not living.
No.
I believe dogs, brother, have peace and fight all the time. But he come to Nazareth, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophets, Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel." I don't know how to be thankful enough tonight. When I look at that lonely Nazarene that walked the shores of time and went about doing good, that he'd see fit to call unworthy men as myself, put that same spirit upon them that he had to preach the gospel. There's ever been a man that could measure up and deserve that, I'd sure like to see him. And I'm just going to sort of go down through this, and I want you to see that what our Lord literally done for the people, literally and spiritually, that he sends men empowered with the Spirit of God to do the same thing spiritually. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel." If you can show me where a man can preach the gospel except he be anointed by the Spirit of God, he might preach all right. As far as proclaiming or distributing or strowing, but what is he strowing? "And to preach the gospel to the poor." I love to preach to the poor. You can't preach to the rich, no one.
That's right. Right.
I ain't talking about money either.
You're right.
But you take a man that's plumb rich, that's filthy rich and self-righteous, ain't no, you can't preach to him. The only way you can preach to them and get anything going is you not be anointed by the Spirit and get in their flesh just like they are. And appeal to their flesh. And he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I've seen a lot of broken hearts on this trip. Dear man come to me, and he, after I shared my experience with him, you know, brother, sometimes we as preachers, and even you as members of the church, we're just too proud to tell people, you know, about our problems, because they'll think, oh, you know, God sent that on you because you ain't doing right and all that, no matter what they think.
Right.
Brother comes near with a broken heart, weeping, tears just rolling down and going in the corner of his mouth. His daughter is in terrible trouble. Broken heart. Another one was a rebellious son, sort of in the same shape of mine. All kind of problems. Broken hearted. Well, I know that my heart's somewhat broken in a sense, but I don't want to know. My heart's not broken tonight. It's been mended. Even this trip and even before, and before I started out, I thought, oh, Lord, how can I go in this kind of shape? How can I go with all the pressure that's been on me for the past months and weeks? How can I go? You know, a thought come to me. I know it ain't the Lord talking, but a thought come to me. Go the same way you've always went. Isn't that something? Just go the same way. You see, he heals broken hearts. But I don't want you to think it is healed mine apart from three things. Man, and I'm going to put it in a backwards order. Man, gospel, and spirit. Do you know I've never seen anything take place that was worth anything than time that we didn't get the order of God sending a man doing some preaching, and the next thing always happens is baptized and added. And God's got this principle, and it just starts out. First time I ever heard any preaching, far as the gospel's talking about a man just come preaching, old John. It was a man sent. God. His name was John. This same came preaching, repent ye, for the kingdom of God's at hand. Next thing I seen him down to River Jordan baptized. God's method, it's God's means, it's God's way, and that's the only way, because that's the way he designed. I'd like for it to be sometimes some other way. But you see, we get in trouble when we vary from the way that God has designed, because that's the best way, whether we realize it or not. Could I say the best way is the only way?
Amen.
That's what makes it the best way. To recover sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That's getting the grave clothes off now, ain't it, Brother Paul? You set them at liberty. Turn them loose. You see, everything that he done, you can have done for you in time through them. We're bound tonight for anything, whatever it is. The answer is right here. To loose us and set us free. As he started preaching that, it said, and all the eyes were fixed. Well, I'll never remember. I mean, I'll always remember. I'll never forget. When I used to be with another people, and every time they'd have a special meeting somewhere, and they'd get in touch with me to come, and I'd go and preach one time. Never go back no more. And I know in that vicinity, I had a little radio program. I knew this all listening. But you see, they didn't want me in church, but they wanted to listen because they didn't know what this crazy thing might say. And I mean, they was curious enough to keep on listening to me on the radio when they didn't want me in the meeting houses. So I said, well, I will get another message to them. And I went to the radio station and preached one message, done it. And this is where I started. And I said, this is the first and our Lord ever preached. This is the first message that he preached after he was baptized. And when he preached that, when he got done, now, when he gets through with this message, they're going to take him out to a hill where on the city is built. And they would, if they could have, cast him down the hill headlong. I've had preachers make me mad enough to kill them, haven't you? They did too. When I was with those other people and sneak off every now and then, like Brother Parks in back country, not letting nobody see me and go to an old Baptist meeting, how some of them old Baptist preachers make me mad enough to kill them. But I didn't want them to know it. I didn't want them to know that I was that low down, see? See, I didn't think they was like that. I thought, well, nobody like that but me. But he said, all eyes was fixed upon him. And they said, what gracious words proceed out of his mouth. But when he began to talk about there was many lepers in the day of Elisha, but he just sent the one. Many widows in the day of Elijah, but he would just sent the one. Why does a man in nature, or man in the flesh, or man that has been taught contrary to the word of God, why does he hate the God of election, the God of choice? Why does he hate the sovereign God? For the will. People around this community, they say, the sign down yonder says, Andrew loves God. If they literally knew that you believed that God was sovereign, that he made choice and all of that, I don't know if they'd take that sign down. Mm-hmm. Now, this world's not going to love you for that doctrine. You see, that doctrine strips a man of all of his pride, of all of his worthiness, of all of his works. And when you start disrobing a man in public, and you start stripping that man naked, he'll fight you for everything that is worth. It's embarrassing to him. He'll cling on to some of his self-righteousness with everything that's in him. They don't only hate the doctrine, they hate the man who'll preach it. I've had doctors in the natural realm make me mad enough to kill them. You know, you go sit down in the office and they tell you get that knife. They know they ain't going to see you till after dinner. And when they do see you, first thing they go ask you, what's wrong with you? Man, if I'd have known that, I'd have done got well, you see. And then when they give you something, they'll say, I don't know if this will do you any good, but come back in 2 weeks. Go through the same thing. Don't know if you feel any better. But you know what? I have found out a lot of times it made me mad. I didn't listen to them and got worse. A lot of times I went on and suffered it. Done exactly what they said, and they knows what they're talking about. Got me straightened out. But I want to run this since this year he said there's many. And I'm not going to get both of these. I'm just going to go to the widow. But now this first message that he preached, and that's sort of the way it's happening with me. I'd go somewhere and begin to preach these doctrines of the Bible, and they wouldn't want me back anymore. So I went to that radio station, and I preached this. What our Lord preached, and these many lepers were just sent to one. You see, these old Jews understood. He's talking about us. He's talking about this. He's talking about us. He knows we're the ones that don't believe that. But I just want to go over here and see where Elijah was sent down to this widow woman's house. Because I believe it's helped me. It's helped me so many times. And I believe it's helped a little church, both churches. I know I shouldn't be passing in and trying to pass the two, but anyhow, I believe it's helped them. Now, I'm not talking about great swelling things, but I believe it's helped them. Because, see, brethren, this thing has to do with Elijah being sent to that widow woman. A God of heaven that will put a man through some of that anguish of soul that he has to go to get him to a widow woman for both of the salvations right there at end. You see, he done got him down after the brook and said, you go on down to the brook and I'll send this raven and he'll come, he'll feed you twice a day. Flesh and bread in the morning and flesh and bread in the afternoon, evening. Isn't that something? How God take care of that man down there? I mean, wasn't no church down there supporting him? And you got to remember the shape Israel was in that day. It's sort of hard to get water and bread. And you ever thought of 3.5 year famine or somewhere even in the front part of it, wherever he was right there at that time in it? It don't matter. If he wasn't in it but 6 months, he began to feel the effect of it. Things was getting tight. You see, we think we got a famine back in Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina. It's been raining once in a while, and I noticed when it wasn't rain, was getting some dew. But I mean, it's not going to even dew. Not nothing. No water. Not anything. No, Elijah still had bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the afternoon, and he drank of the brook until the brook went dry. Some of the worst times of my life, and I thought God just done me mighty dirty. And I look back on it and I say, oh, how good God was to this poor boy. Because he just let some brooks dry up on me. But you see, if he'd have left me where he didn't want me to be, and have kept blessing me in that state, I'd have stayed there till I died. I'd have never moved on. What reason would I had to move on? Or to move any kind of way, just stayed right there. I want to stay where his blessings is. A lot of times God might not be blessing you at a certain time. Don't mean God Almighty has left you. He's just getting you ready to put you where he wants you, and that's his way of doing. He ain't hurting you at all. Being mighty kind and mighty good to you. But you see, that brook dries up, and here's Elijah. And the Lord said, now, I want you to go down this widow woman's house. And I've commanded her. I tell you, brethren, I believe if that preacher's got a charge, I believe a church has got a command. I've commanded a widow woman down there to sustain you. Us preachers done got the big head and think we can sustain ourselves. I want to tell you, the church is you're to sustain. And I'm not talking about filling my pockets full of money either.
Right.
Lord, I need your prayers. Sometimes I believe I need your prayers worse than you need mine. I need your service.
Amen.
Equal or more so than you need my poor service.
Amen.
In fact, if it wasn't for you, I want to commend you tonight. Believe you've come through them doors tonight for the right reason and the right spirit. Stood here last night bound. They're like butting your head every night and get a little liberty and wham, it stopped. He'd come and had go and there I was and couldn't get out of it. And I thank God that it happened. I'm glad it's like that. I don't want him to carry me no higher than you are. Carry you no higher. I don't want to go way off up yonder somewhere. Leave you sitting down here.
Amen.
Be no good.
Yeah.
Well, good done us to went out of here preaching last night. That wasn't the help. I'd have went home. See, you'd went home feeling better. I don't know where I would or not. I'd have went home feeling worse. I mean, brother, I want to live with you or die with you. If you're sick, I'm going to be sick too. If you're happy, I'm happy. It's a togetherness in this. I want to tell you, I didn't know how close the family was. And my poor boy got in trouble. I won't tell you, that thing, it's about killed all of us. My daughter lives nearly 300 miles away. Wait a minute, is that far? Yeah. Virginia Beach is nearly 300 miles away. And it's about killing that little girl. She's not even home. But that little old brother she growed up with and loved so much is in trouble. Oh, it tore a heart out. It just tore our hearts out, and yet it brought us closer together. I want to tell you something. It amazed those people down there when we went down to the councils. Those mothers and fathers telling about it's just about divided our homes. Some homes had done completely broke up. They got divorces. Some had attempted suicide. I didn't know that problems like that would tear a family all to pieces. They marveled. I said, no, ma'am. It's brought me and my wife closer. It's brought me and my daughter closer. It's brought me and my church members closer. She said, I can't understand it. I said, I want to tell you how, if you'll give me a little while it's brought us closer. We've not looked to the flesh. We've been looking to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And we put our faith and trust in him. And that's made us closer because we're walking in the same avenue. And we're closer together. Now, if that'll work in the natural realm, I'm going to tell you something. I believe, if I know anything, that I'm closer to God's people, my spiritual brothers and sisters, than I am people in the flesh, my natural brother and sister, not as close to me tonight as you are.
Amen.
So you see, brethren, when we'd all get into this thing, and when you get down, your minister's going to get down.
That's right.
This thing works together. So you get part of something that God set in motion, and he set these things in motion. Started back over yonder in Palestine, and it's still been a going. It's going to go on until there's time no more. But it ain't going to even stop. Ain't no stopping what God stops. What's his? What his works is eternal. He just keeps it. I'm going to tell you something. If I know what I'm talking about, I don't know if I know what I'm talking about. I feel like right now I do. I've experienced it. I can't sometimes get things in words. I wish I could, if I could, have a vocabulary sometimes to fit what I feel in my heart. I don't make a vocabulary like that. Man might have to speak in an unknown tongue to get all that out sometime, right? Like that. If I'd interpreted, we might could. I don't know nothing about that, but it's in the book. But there's a union between what God has given us in the church that we need to just strive to become close on.
Amen.
Now, I've commanded a widow woman down there to sustain you. And you see, and it gets down there, and I feel like a lot of times we come to the church, and all the church really needed, if this year could be a type, and I might got a principle here and using the wrong thing to show it. But sometimes I believe churches is so like widow women. I believe they could be. I believe there was a time when the church was a widower. I believe for about 3 days and nights. But anyhow, if I missed it, the essence of the lesson, it's still there. The truth is still going to work. I mean truth, just like a cat, you throw it out there, it's going to land on its feet. If I can stay with the truth of the lesson. And all tonight that the poor church of Jesus Christ needs, I believe, and you see, we always, every preacher I hear knows what they need. And when you get all them things that we all know what you need, I tell you, I don't believe the left's going to get them straightened out. That's just too much for any poor people to get done. And it's life, isn't it? But this is just something I believe that we do need. At least this widow woman needed. She needed an attitude of justice. That woman had the wrong attitude about that thing. There's a great famine had come, and there she was, and here comes old Elijah. You know what she's down there doing? Gathering sticks. And she's going to gather them sticks, her and her son, and they're going to make a fire because all she's got's a little handful of meal. The old church got's all it needs.
Amen.
Type of Christ.
Sure.
I mean ground. Body broken. Isn't he our food? And a little cruise all his spirit. Hey, tell me, what more do you need than the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? See, you got the type of God in Elijah. So the woman's got it all. I tell you, tonight, that as a church of Jesus Christ, you've got it all. Principle here and using the wrong thing. And I believe by the grace of God and what God's given me, I've got another best. I believe I can don't have to be separated from God. You see, the Old Testament talks about, you know, when I go, he's on my left and he's on my right. And you know, a lot of times we sort of staggering over this way and we think the Lord's cleaned up. You just ain't quite got fallen up that way. Or you get kind of going this way and you think you've done left. You see, the Lord is right in the center with us, but he's on both sides. And you know, I found out he's in front of us, and he's our reward. He's behind us. Pray, tell me, where can we go to be out of his presence? And feel like God's come clean left me. No, I haven't. That's got my mind all messed up. I need an attitude adjustment. I need to understand that God hasn't left me. He won't leave me. He promised to never leave me nor forsake me. I'll go with you all the way. Woman might forsake a suckling child, but I'll not forsake you. Sometimes we forget and think because we've done all this wrong and all that, made all this mistakes and all that, that God ain't left us, that God has left. Why, just fall down on your knees and confess it, and you'll find out, and they'll just apologize to it. Might not have to confess it, just say, I'm sorry. Getting sorry and feeling bad about it. That is repentance, isn't it? But you see, our attitude gets wrong. Now, I'm going to close with this because I want to hear Brother Parks. We don't want to worry you. And she's gathering these sticks and said, now, we got a little handful of meal and just a little cruise oil. We're just gathering sticks together and we're just going to fix two little cakes. One for me and one for my son. And eat it and die. Elijah said, fetch me a little water. That ain't much to ask for. You know what? This Bible teaches me that everybody in this congregation can get the same reward that a preacher can have. If you'll just give a drink of water in the name of apostles, you can receive an apostle's reward. My goodness. He said, bring me a little, fetch me some water. Now that don't sound like much, but I'm going to tell you, it sounds like a whole lot. It hadn't rained a long time, wasn't it? So I wonder why that woman had to go get that water. I know one brook done dried up, and I believe a whole lot more was drying up, and it drying up faster and faster. Did you know what? You know what dries up the brooks? You know what fills up these wells? And we have to go back and every now and then we have to dig them out and clean them things out so and get us some more water? Philistine. That's that uncircumcised Philistine, the flesh, J.R.A. Worst enemy I got, God be blessed me, and I'll stop up every stream if I don't get back in the spirit and start digging that mess out. Amen. And if it looks like, and you remember, man, I was getting some blessings, and now I'm not getting none, just get in there and get the old Philistine filth out of that spring, and it'll just go to flowing. Because he said, all my springs are in you. Proverbs 29:27. I don't generally quote, but if I don't quote that, I ain't going to remember where it is. I ain't going to remember how to say it. So it's probably going to have to turn and read it in half. The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. But that ain't enough of it. I want to get this shit better in that thing some kind of way because that's what it says. It's the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And I can't get the rest of that. And the rest of it's what I wanted. Didn't want that part.
Searching all the inward parts of the belly.
searching all the inward parts of the body. Now notice what it says. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. That's his life. Him in your spirit. God quickened you in the spirit, and that is the light of the Lord. And it searches the inward parts of the belly. You remember our Lord stood on that great day of the feast, and he cried, said, if any man thirst, I'm talking about these springs. I'm talking about this water. I'm talking about these brooks that God sent out with. He stood that great day, and he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me, and out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. This spake he concerning the Spirit, for the Holy Ghost had not yet been given. I'm telling you, what I'm trying to say is if we could stay in that Spirit, walk in that Spirit, think in that Spirit, live in that Spirit, that out of us would flow a refreshing to everyone that we come in contact with. And that's the very Spirit of God. That's God in you, the hope of glory. That's what this world needs to see. Something coming out. Not so much coming out of my mouth, but a whole lot of coming out of my behavior. Amen. I walk in this world.
Amen.
Something about that thing looks like the more you get into it, the more you want to get into it, the deeper you want to get into it, the more you want to stay into it. And he told this woman, I want you to go bring me a little bit of water. I'll have you to understand as a church, you still got something that to give to that. You still got some water. You still go out and say, come, I ain't never found a church yet. As long as that candlestick is there, that she can't go out to those that's athirst and say, come and take of this water of life freely. Now you just go. Fix me a little cake first. And then fix one for you and one for your son. Oh, sometimes old preacher hard hearing. She done told him she didn't have enough to go around. And he said, just go and fix me one first and then fix you one for your son. You know the next day how they had to live? This thing's walking the faith, brother. Fix him one. Fix you one. Fix your children one. I mean, just do it every day. And there'll always be enough thing. Go around. Don't matter how big your family is, it's just one. I want to get into that. This next day. Fix me one. Fix you one. Fix your family one. You see the order? You honor God. Keep yourself straight. And you can raise your family right. I mean, you can sustain your family. That boy won't die. She done ready to not only die herself, but him die. That family can stay together. Just keep doing it. I ain't going to say you ain't going to have problems. There'll be a whole lot less problems than you have. But at least you'll make it through the family. Now let me share something with you. If Elijah don't go, stays up at the brook, water done quit flowing. Raven done quit coming. He's going to perish. And a poor preacher can perish so easy, seems to like some. But wait a minute, if he goes down to this widow woman's house and she won't listen to him, that ain't his meal in that sense. He ain't got no right to go down there and take it from him. I mean, God didn't send him down there to take the last mouthful that woman had. Starve her and her son to death. Brother, I'll tell you something. If you do what this Bible said, you ought to do it freely. You ought to just do it because it's right. Just do it because God said to. And if the preacher ain't telling you and he says you do this and it ain't in that Bible, don't pay him no attention. But if it is, just do it. Just do it. Now, if she don't do what he says, and she reaches down and she fixes those two little cakes and leaves him out, she's going to die. And Elijah's going to die. The only way that he's going to get what God has wants him to be blessed with is through your obedience and through what you do. You're my joy, says Paul. You're my rejoicing. You know what? At home, what's our joy? What we want to work and strive for? Our wife and children. That's our joy. This thing's a family matter. No wonder when one member suffers, they all suffer. When one member rejoices, they all rejoice. And that's talking about the body of Christ, the church. You see, the thing of it is, if Elijah don't go, Elijah and the widow woman perish. The way to get the blessing down there, and the way for this thing's blessing, is we've got to get the man of God and the church together in the same place, eating the same thing, drinking the same thing, and walking together. He stays up there. He don't only perish, but boy, where the woman going to perish? He comes down there. And she don't, the widow woman, which is a type of the church, don't do what she's supposed to, they're both going to perish. But if he'll do what God told him to do, and she'll do what God told her to do, they'll all live happily ever after, however long it takes to that thing to go. Maybe we're living down here in the family. Now, I'm not talking for all of this other. But it looks like to me when I compare what we've got down here, the church, the kingdom of God, to that great and high kingdom. Oh, this would just be a famine, wouldn't it? Wasteland. Wilderness. And yet that's a whole lot better than what we had. But yet it's just a wilderness compared to what God's going to give us when this drought's over. God bless you. I'm done.
Amen.